Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill will break down the brackets, look ahead to the games Thursday, Friday, futures, the committee. And the committee is where we'll start because it was a wild conference tournament week, a crazy selection Sunday with all of the bubbles popping with all the bid stealers. And look, I know it's popular to pick on the committee, and the committee's got a tough job putting the right 68 teams in, the right seeds. You can never make anybody happy, but I thought the committee did a tremendously bad job, just a terrible job with this selection. First of all, they screwed UConn. UConn is supposed to be the top seed here. They are the top seed. They got the toughest bracket. They got to deal with Auburn, Iowa State, San Diego State, a tricky second round matchup, maybe between either FAU or Northwestern, Illinois on their side of the bracket. They got the hardest draw of all the one seeds. So that was a bad job. Putting Virginia in this tournament, I thought was a disgrace. They had no business being in this tournament. That's not a tournament team. 69 in KenPom. Meanwhile, St. John's is 25 in KenPom, 44 spots better, and they leave St. John's out. The Big East in general got screwed with Providence, St. John's, Seton Hall, Nova, all of the bubble teams in the Big East, who was second in KenPom, by the way. The conference was Big East was second conference in KenPom, and they got completely buried here with the bubble teams getting left out, with UConn being really with a tough draw here. Now, I know they're going to be close to home and they're going to get to play in Brooklyn and Boston, but I thought the committee did just a terrible, terrible job here. And again, you're never going to make everybody happy. The fact that St. John's wasn't even close, and I was on Friday, and it's like St. John's is in, they're in good shape. I felt differently Sunday morning, where like I thought they were a little better than 50-50 to get in. They were minus 185. I thought they were going to get in because they're from New York. They reached the 20 wins. But the fact that they were not only four, but probably five bid stealers, if you include New Mexico. And by bid stealers, I mean teams from major conferences that weren't getting into the tournament unless they won their conference tournament, who end up winning their conference tournament. So normal years, you might not have any. Last year, there weren't any. Some years, you have one. Two would be a lot. You had five. You had the A-10, Duquesne winning, and how Duquesne's at 11 makes no sense to me. 11's like playing, 11's like at large range, and Duquesne's not an at large team. You had the Conference USA. You had obviously Oregon winning the Pac-12. You had NC State stealing that one. And, you know, if you want to count New Mexico, that was a bid that they were on the bubble, and if they got knocked out in the first or second round, they might not have made the tournament. They probably wouldn't have, because if you notice, the committee was not fond of the Mountain West. Boise got put in a play-in scenario. Nevada barely got in. So look, I'm not shocked that St. John's didn't get in with all the bubbles that got popped, with just the scenario where five bids were lost. I mean, you saw St. John's beat Seton Hall on Thursday, play tough against UConn, and they lost all three games to UConn, but they led in the second half of two of them, and that was a good showing, I thought, on Friday. And you saw Patino after the game against Seton Hall. He was joking around. He had a sense of humor. You could tell he thought he knew he was in. He knew he was in, at least, where, you know, he was joking around when somebody asked him, how do you beat UConn? He's like, well, I hope six of their players get COVID, something like that. And he smiled and walked away. And then he was reflecting on the game in the regular season where he ripped his team. He said, hey, I didn't mean it. You know, you say things, but I love these guys. This group came together. You could tell there was a sense of accomplishment for Patino. Like, he was very, very confident he was getting in. He was furious after the selection where they were left out. He said, hey, I never want to hear about net ranking again. It's completely ridiculous. I didn't see the whole comments, did this right after the selection, but Patino not happy. I saw Providence coach Kim English not happy, saying, hey, the analytics are ridiculous, all that, which I think he's got a point. Now, his team, I don't think deserved to be in anyway. And I didn't think there was anyone else egregious being left out. I thought Indiana State was going to get squeezed. I think they were the highest net to be left out, around mid-20s to be left out. Again, these numbers are all running together here. But I didn't think Indiana State was going to get in because of the bid stealers. I thought last Sunday when they lost Missouri Valley final that, hey, 50-50, they got in. And maybe if you didn't have all of the Oregons, NC States, et cetera, maybe they would have put Indiana State in. But my biggest gripe is, and I have a bunch of them, putting Virginia in, making UConn's bracket that tough. How is Kansas a four seed? They didn't deserve a four seed. How is Duquesne an 11? That's ridiculous. Michigan State way too comfortably in. They did nothing. They're living completely on reputation. So not a good job by the committee. I thought some of these moves are very head-scratching. Again, you're never going to make everybody happy. It's never going to be perfect. There's a lot of moving parts here. There's unbalanced schedules. Not everyone plays the same schedule. So a lot of times it is apples and oranges comparing these teams. But I have a hard time putting Virginia in this tournament, and especially St. John's wasn't even one of the first four out. That to me was shocking, and they really, really loaded up the UConn bracket. So this will be a fun tournament. Again, it's when you're talking about 68 teams that get in, the teams that get left out, it's not like in Florida State in college football where they went undefeated and you say, man, you won all your games and you get to get in. I mean, you're still talking about mediocre-ish teams that are being left out, so you can't go too crazy. But I was not impressed with the committee. I thought they did a really bad job. The lines started to come out, and we'll get to some of them here. I mentioned Virginia. They are a 1.5-point underdog against Colorado State. That'll be one of the playing games on Tuesday. And I don't know that we'll start to get times here in a minute. Again, doing this right after the selection. So at least the playing games, you've got, like I said, Colorado State, 1.5-point favorites over Virginia. Howard, 3-point favorites over Wagner. Colorado, a 2-point favorite over Boise State. Boise State did not, if you notice, they the CBS crews, or somebody had their camera crews in Boise State's watch party or whatever, and Boise State was stunned and shocked that they're going to be in the play, and they thought they were in the main draw. So Colorado laying 2 there against Boise, and then you have Montana State laying 4.5 against Grambling, and then you got the rest of the games popping up. One that looked light to me, I did think Houston was a little light against Longwood. There's 22 at DraftKings. They're going to bury Longwood. They're just going to smother them. They're coming off a horrible performance, and that was a bad performance, an alarming performance against Iowa State in the Big 12 final. So they will come out for blood. They kill these bad teams. They're a bit of a bully. So I do like Houston. That's one that jumped out to me. And the Purdue line is the Purdue line's not up because we don't have an opponent yet for Purdue. But Purdue, after losing in round one last year and losing to double-digit seeds 3 years in a row, they're going to be hyper focused. So whatever the number is with Purdue, I will be looking to lay it. But the committee, I thought, did some strange things in all sorts of ways. Who they put in, seeding, not balancing the brackets properly. This is not an easy draw for UConn when you have your side of the bracket with Illinois, Auburn, Iowa State, San Diego State, a tricky second round game. They might get Florida Atlantic in the second round. I know Florida Atlantic has not been good this year, but Florida Atlantic plays up to the competition and down to the competition. They beat Arizona. They seem to play close games against anybody, no matter who they play. So we will talk more about that with Kev O'Neill. Quickly, I referenced the Bid Sealers. What a wild weekend it was with the Bid Sealers. First of all, you had the crazy Temple story where 10 days ago they're being investigated because one of their lines against UAB moved from -2 to -8 for UAB. So the money moved against Temple, and then Temple got destroyed. Investigation, people looking into it, allegations, all that kind of thing. And then they go on a run where they win 4 games in a row as big underdogs in a few of them and get to the final. And they got killed in the final on Sunday against UAB. Coincidentally, but just a crazy run for Temple and all these other teams. NC State 100-1 to win the ACC. They win wire to wire basically against North Carolina on Saturday night. Oregon with a crazy comeback against Arizona and win that game pretty comfortably Friday night against Arizona. So just some crazy things this weekend where, again, most years you get maybe if you get one bid stealer, that's a lot. It's unusual, especially now in these bigger conferences, to have a team that's in a non one bid league. So like the Big East, the Big 12, Pac-12, where you get a team that's not going to make it into the tournament, they get hot and they win it. First of all, if you're good enough to win one of those big tournaments, usually you're good enough to be like an at-large team. So the fact that you've got four, maybe five of these is just absolutely stunning and really threw an interesting wrinkle into this whole selection this weekend. And just some other things quickly, Long Beach State, I don't know if you saw this, Long Beach State, they fired their coach Monday, Monson, who was going to, it's unclear whether it was mutual, but they were parting ways. And he's the guy, he started at Gonzaga. He was the first Gonzaga Cinderella team back in 1999. So they part ways with Munson, and then Long Beach goes on and wins their conference tournament. They're going to be in the tournament here. That was a crazy story. And then a couple of things, Akron, Kent State in the MAC. Oh my God, you felt bad for this Kent State kid. Kent State is up by 1 with 4 seconds left, and the kid gives an intentional foul, thinking they were losing, I guess, by 1, not knowing the score. The kid on Akron bangs both free throws. Akron wins. Kent State loses. The kid's crying. The coach for Kent State did a good job saying, hey, it's not one play. It's not one player. You know, the sun will come up tomorrow, that kind of thing. But, oh my goodness, what a terrible mistake. You feel bad for the kid to foul up 1 in that scenario. And then Yale on Sunday. And Sunday is a little bit of a more relaxing day. It's a little bit of a withdrawal day after so many games, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday is a bit of an exhale day where it's only a few games here and there. I think it's 4 games total on Sunday. Yale is down 6 with 24 seconds left. Not only wins the game, but wins it in regulation. Just an epic comeback, an all-time meltdown from Brown to not only lose the game, but you don't even get it to overtime. Yale scores 7 points in the last 23 seconds, I think it was, including a layup, or yeah, I guess you call it a layup at the buzzer to win the game for Yale, to put Yale in the tournament. Just a gut-wrenching loss for Brown. So boy, the madness already started. It was a crazy weekend with all the bids being stolen, the Temple story, NC State was a wild story. If you get one of these, it's a crazy week. You got a few of these, Long Beach State, the Akron finish. I was watching Fairfield, who's close to me. Fairfield was up 7 at halftime, I think up 9 in the second half. They had a terrible loss to St. Peter's. They haven't been to the tournament since 97. I thought they were going to punch their ticket. It was room for them to punch their ticket. They could not get it done. Florida, who I talked about on this show, I think, and other shows, they were 20-1 to win their tournament, got to the final in the SEC, cut it to within one of Auburn, but Auburn led wire to wire. So Florida couldn't get it done, but you had some monster upsets. The one seeds in these conferences did terribly. I think it was like 19 or 20 of the one seeds got knocked out. The one seeds just did not do well at all, which took a small sample size. One seeds aren't going to necessarily win, but this was a just a bloodbath in terms of the chalk. UConn was one of the one seeds. They get it done. That Friday night game against St. John's was fun, but Creighton losing the way they did, and you know, Marquette not having Kolick, that Big East final was a bit of a snore. The Big 12 final wasn't great. It's the volume of games that are so good, and you get some of these upsets in these conference tournaments where it turns everything upside down. So a fun weekend of basketball, and there is more ahead here. We will discuss it all with Kev O'Neill. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. It is time to talk some of these games, the selection, conference title week. From the odds breakers, it is the great Kev O'Neill. I was excited. I was able to get you. I wanted to be able to get somebody good who knew what they were talking about, wasn't afraid to call it the committee. So I'll make you the teacher. Let's forget the specifics for a second, Kev. What letter grade would you give the committee? Also, hi, how are you?
You flatter me very much, undeservingly, but I'm doing great. And it's an honor to be back on your show, as always, Will. But man, this is what it's all about. I mean, this is my favorite time of year. Was so excited to get the brackets today. Watching the conference tournaments is always just a blast. Had a good day yesterday, kind of a split day today, but hey, you know, it's always good when you're not down. So I'm loving that. And the committee, you know, I would probably give them it going by what they're supposed to do. I would probably give them a B+. They did some things that I wanted them to do, and they're in a really tough position, Will, because of all the at-large teams that couldn't go in because of all the bid stealers that happened. I mean, so many bid stealers. Just off the top of my head, I think NC State, UAB, because FAU was getting in, right? Duquesne, Dayton was going in. Maybe even New Mexico, you can throw in there. I mean, the Mountain West had a ton of teams in. And obviously Oregon. So, man, a lot of bid stealers, and they did the best that they could. I only have a couple grudges with a few teams.
Yeah, and I made the same point about the bid stealers, which the bid stealers are what make the latter part of conference title week fun, aside from the betting, because once you get down to like the semifinals and the big tournaments, Big East, Big 12, all of these, most of these teams are in. So usually, like, if you get one bid stealer a year, that's a lot. Last year, we got zero. A lot of years, we get zero. Some years, we get one. Two would be a lot. The fact that we got four, maybe five, is really, I'd have to go back and check, really kind of unheard of.
I mean, it certainly is, man. And but you're right. That's what it makes it fun. And the truth is, you know, the fact that you have so many teams, you can't really cry about some of the teams that have been left out, because it's not like you're leaving out the fifth best team in football like it's been for a long time, right? These teams literally do not deserve to be in anyway, in my opinion, if you want to talk about true championships. So now you can always say, I think they shouldn't have selected this team over this team. And you can make a lot of different arguments with that. Virginia is the obvious one for me. I don't think they're an exciting team. I think that, you know, they got in because of the coach, really, and the ACC, they wanted five teams in. And so it's like, funny, NC State stole a bid, but they didn't steal Virginia's. I almost feel like they should have stole Virginia's.
I agree. And it's like you listened to my open, because I said the same thing about, hey, it's not like Florida State where they went 13-0 and you left Florida State out, and you could say, oh my God, they won all their games and didn't get out of the playoffs. Not to rehash that whole thing. But yeah, when you're talking about like this, there's still 68 teams get in. If you're 69 and on the outside looking in, I mean, it's not the same thing. But I agree about Virginia. I mean, St. John's was 44, was what, 44 spots ahead of him in KenPom. St. John's is 25. Oh, Virginia is 69. It's insane.
I'm shocked about St. John. You know, you were asking me the price to on the yes. I was thinking you're going to bet the yes, and I found a price of just before the selection show came out. It was minus 185 on the yes. So apparently the no at whatever plus 150 or ish was the correct answer. But I'm shocked that they didn't get in because of, you know, the amount of money they draw. You got Rick Pitino.
I
You
agree.
could have put him against Richard Pitino. There have been some great storylines to that. And that's actually I wrote down some snubs that I would have wanted to see in, and St. John's is number one for the snubs. Indiana State's there at number
I
two.
agree.
I think that App State was a very good team, and I would like to see those kind of teams rather than teams like Virginia, Boise State, and you know a couple of those other teams. I thought Pitt had a little bit of a nice little run there in the tournament until they hit North Carolina. And it's funny if you talk about recency, there's teams in this tournament that I would, you know, obviously I would bet Ohio State over some of these teams that are in,
Sure.
right? I would bet USC even over some of these teams, but they're the fact that they're being punished for their season, I totally understand that. It's just a certain way of looking at it.
One other gripe I had, and we'll get to the games here in a minute. I thought the Big East got really shafted. I mean, that's the second best conference in KenPom. They only got three teams in. And UConn, who's the number one seed of all, I thought they had the toughest bracket. You're putting the Big 12 champ, the SEC champ, and the Big 10 champ all in their bracket. I mean, that's a very tough bracket. I thought UConn got a really hard draw. Now they're close to campus. They don't have to get on a plane, but I thought UConn did not get a favorable draw whatsoever.
You got the Big 12 champ, the SEC champ, the Big 10 champ, and the conference one anyway, the conference tournament one,
Yeah,
not
right.
and they're right under Purdue, let's face it. And then UConn, the best team in the whole league, in my opinion. Holy cow. I mean, I was a little upset as a Badger fan after Illinois won, but at the same time, it was kind of like when I saw their bracket in the East, I was like, okay, screw you guys anyway, man. I have the East is much harder than the rest of them, Will. And I think it's top heavy more, but still, it's like Iowa State, the way they manhandled Houston. And I actually had Iowa State as a top eight, top nine team pretty much all season, but they kind of showed who they were. They're a very tough out. And San Diego State's not even, they're tricky. And it's funny how you throw FAU in there as well. And BYU, who started out the season very good, they could go on a run and beat some people. Yeah, I think the East region is definitely above and beyond strength than the rest of them.
And my last gripe before we get to the games, and I'll ask you to just pick a few that you like, a few that jumped out to you. We can just go through some of these here. I don't know how the hell Duquesne's an 11 seed. I think sometimes when these teams play on Sunday, they just have it positioned where the committee gets lazy and say, I will just throw the winner of this game in there, whatever. Duquesne's not 11. 11's basically an at-large team. Duquesne was not an at-large team. That was just completely misseeded, that Duquesne team.
It makes no sense. Now I was fortunate enough to, that was my big one that I won at 14-1 was Duquesne in the Atlantic 10, but the first four went out literally that Thursday, the first day they had to play, and which was really interesting. That helped me a bit. That got a little dicey at the end. It's like Duquesne and VCU they were both trying to find ways to lose the game. It's almost like who could suck more in this game today. It was terrible. I bet the under, thank goodness. But I feel like Duquesne should be like a 14 seed or a 13 seed. You know, I'm shocked that they're as high as 11.
Right. And I said off the top here, look, committee, as much as I want to get on them, and I do think they made a bunch of mistakes here. You're never going to make everybody happy. You got 68 teams to put in, and you got to put them in the right order. Like, you're never going to please everybody. I understand that, but I did think there were some things that were glaring here. And yeah, go
The
ahead.
reason I gave him a B plus is because they kept Seton Hall out, Wake Forest out. I didn't want Wake Forest. They kept Nova out. Kind of had to at 18 and 15. That's just a number that never gets in anymore.
Yeah, I
18 and
agree.
15. It hasn't for a long time. And then Oklahoma. I think, you know, I was glad that those were out. Some of the teams that were weird is Dayton just had a really bad last run. I kind of thought they were overrated. FAU has just been,
How are they an eight?
I don't know. They've been bad lately too. Boise, and just having that many teams from the Mountain West was a little bit of a head scratcher. And Colorado. Colorado can't win on the road. So, I mean, I understand from the earlier in the season how Colorado got in, but in my opinion, you know, those are teams that, you know, I'm going to probably be looking to fade, Will.
Anything you've hit here on the openers?
Yes. I mean, right away I took Colorado State and I laid 1.5. I mean, literally came out what half hour ago.
They did a good job. As soon as the brackets popped up, there were lines, boom, instantly.
Yes, there's lines instantly. Still sitting there on DraftKings, Colorado State -1.5. I'm wondering where it's going to close. I mean, now you're not going to, I didn't get any of my efficiency sites data. You know, these are just known from my head and from power ratings and things like that.
Right.
But, you know, Colorado State's a ways above Virginia. You know, Virginia, just on KenPom themselves, if I can find them, is number 69. You know, that's not good.
No.
Colorado State is 38. So, I mean, that's almost double the position. You know, this should be a 3.5-point spread here. I took it at 1.5. I took it as a pretty big play.
I agree, too. I'm going to actually bet this now, too. Thing that scares me, Virginia, sometimes now, I think this game's Tuesday, but sometimes this happens where the team that doesn't belong in actually wins a game or two. I don't know if it's they hear for a few days, hey, they don't belong in, they stink, they're no good, and nobody believes in us. And there's a little bit of an extra motivation factor, which sounds strange in the tournament, but there is that element. But I'm with you. I'm probably going to play Colorado State on this one. Anything else you like?
Yeah, I just made a few plays. So I think Utah State I played. And let me look at, I got to find my number that I got on them. But I think Utah State's in a situation they didn't. And this is probably something I should have mentioned. Historically, conference tournament winners do not do as good in the NCAA tournament. I'm a big believer in mental fatigue and emotion and letdowns and things like that. And, you know, it's probably better that Utah State lost a little bit earlier to San Diego State. And then now they have an opportunity to make a little bit of noise. But they're playing TCU. And I got 3.5 on this one. I'm kind of like, really? I think Utah State, not necessarily a great team, but TCU has really faltered down the stretch. I mean, they're only beating teams like West Virginia and Oklahoma, you know, Cincy at home, I guess. But geez, you know, losing to UCF at home, that's pretty bad. Using the Texas Tech, not a big fan of Texas Tech. I think 3.5 is a little too high for a TCU team that has just kind of faltered lately. And I do like I like the coach. I do like Jamie Dixon. But the thing about Utah State is they have the height to compete with TCU, with the Horned Frogs, being that they have Johnson, big 7-foot center there as a backup, and a great Ausabar. He is a 6'8" junior that is a rebounding machine. So I think that they're going to do well against TCU.
Let's go through some of these potential upsets, because everyone does it. You want to pick out those potential upsets, or that's what the tournament's all about. But there's the upsets that happen, and there's the upsets that everybody picks. Now, sometimes everybody picks it and it happens. I remember, I don't know, was it Vermont Syracuse a while back? Taylor Coppenath, everybody picked again. That's a long time ago, but there have been other examples where everyone picks and it does happen. But you know what I mean, where a team, they're a little too trendy. McNeese against Gonzaga, Gonzaga laying 6. I'm just going to rattle them off here. I could see Grand Canyon getting 5.5 against St. Mary's. People could pick Grand Canyon. Charleston against a Bama team that's really struggled. Bama's laying 10.5. Well, I don't know that people pick Vermont against Duke. James Madison against Wisconsin's not a huge upset. Samford getting 8.5 against Kansas, I could see being trendy. Kansas is not a vintage team. So I threw 5 at you. Which ones do you think could happen? Which ones do you want no part of?
I don't want no part of James Madison, Wisconsin, Will, because I think that the whole world is going to pick this 5-12 upset. And to be honest with you, I'd probably rather pick Wisconsin, a better chance in this situation. Everyone loves James Madison, obviously, even dating back to football season and how good their run was before they got injured. But, you know, James Madison does play good defense and they're a good team, but at the same time, you know, Wisconsin's playing pretty hot right now and they lost their tournament game at the end here to Illinois. Very spirited effort. And that was just neck and neck all the way to the end. The way they beat Purdue, they should have beat Purdue by more points than they did. But a lot of people are going to be picking James Madison. And I think if you want to win your bracket, or at least, you know, be up by the Sweet 16, maybe you be the contrarian and actually pick the 5. I think this spread's going to drop down to 3, 3.5. And that's when I might fire on Wisconsin here, because the truth is Wisconsin plays better basketball right now. And they're hot. James Madison, I like them, but they're just not top quality in my opinion. So that's going to be the biggest one in my opinion. A couple other ones. You mentioned Alabama. I definitely do not want to be on Alabama this year. Charleston's going to be probably a somewhat trendy one, but I think people will still just gravitate back to that 4 seed in Alabama. So I found that interesting. I'm really bummed about the Gales playing the Lopes, man. I wanted the Lopes in Grand Canyon to face somebody else.
Committee always does this. They put the two feisty mid-majors against each other so one of them gets knocked off.
I know it's frustrating, and I'm really bummed about that one. I'm torn because I wanted to pick the Lopes and you know, before even the brackets came out, but this one I might just have to go back to St. Mary's in this situation. I have to handicap that one a little bit more. Other ones, you have UAB against San Diego State, which could be a trendy 5-12. And like you said, McNeese versus Gonzaga. Gonzaga, when I kind of was fading them, they got hot, and then obviously they lost to St. Mary's in the tournament there. Which Gonzaga shows up, the one that beat Kentucky, or the one that's going to falter and not score any points like you just saw? McNeese, I like them too, but man, this could be another trendy one that you might want to stay away from.
Anything else jump out to you from the bracket in general? I know a lot of people thought the West is really weak.
The easiest.
Yeah,
The
you think
West is
so?
the easiest bracket.
Yeah, I agree.
I think North Carolina is hit or miss. Alabama, not a good 4 seed. Baylor, a very suspect 3 seed. They're so inconsistent. And Arizona, king of inconsistency, but unfortunately, they're in the West. So a lot of people are going to be picking Arizona in their brackets to get to the Final Four just based upon the proximity. Not so sure about that one right now. Midwest, I think Creighton's kind of interesting. I might be picking Creighton, and I think Purdue, if Zach Edey's in foul trouble, that team's gonna be in foul trouble. Now, he's never been in foul trouble in the Big Ten, it seems, but I think once he hits the tournament again, you could see him get into foul trouble, and that's gonna be very interesting as well. I think Kansas is kind of a weaker team. I don't know if there's gonna be some value. I have to check about McCullough and see how his injury is, obviously, and obviously their big guy as well, but. I think the spread was a little bit light on Kansas coming in, but I did lay some larger numbers as well. I took Kentucky minus 13 and a half. And the truth is, Kentucky is a team that plays very fast. So when they're playing an easier opponent like Oakland, who had to win their Horizon League tournament, and Oakland actually wasn't the favorite to get in. I mean, they're 137th on KenPom, but they're one of those teams that I think are very susceptible to getting run out by a fast-paced team like Kentucky. So I don't mind laying some points with Kentucky there, Will.
Yeah, and I think Oakland plays a lot of zone, and boy, you're going to try to zone Kentucky, and they're going to shoot the ball too well. So that'll be interesting. Which one of these conference tournament performances alarm you? Because we had a lot of duds from Houston, Tennessee, throw Kentucky in there, Arizona. Which one of these do you just kind of dismiss, and which one do you say, uh-oh, that's a red flag?
Well, I mean, there's always the whole Rick Barnes and Matt Painter thing. And funny enough, they threw them in the same Midwest bracket. So I'm actually glad that they did that, by the way. So that means I don't have to think too hard about them making it all the way. I can just either pick one of them or neither of them, right? I think that Tennessee, I don't want to read too much into that just yet. I think that they still have a ton of talent there. And, they're pretty good coming off a loss. I'm not going to read too much into the number there yet. North Carolina losing to NC State. Nothing was stopping NC State. And by the way, where did this come from, NC State?
Oh, man.
I feel like they cheated on me or something, because I'm the kind of guy that would bet a team like that, and then they lied to me all season. So I'm like, that 85-1 would have been really nice in my wallet right now, Will. But NC State, man, that was interesting. Nobody was beating them this time. And I think North Carolina, I'm not worried about them. I think North Carolina is a Final Four team in the West, in my opinion.
Would the bracket with this draw keep you off picking UConn to win it all?
No.
Still going to pick
No,
them.
UConn's proven that I believe that they're in the toughest one last year as well. They had Gonzaga with Drew Timmy there. And I think Kansas was in there, and I can't remember the 1 seed, but they had also, I believe, the toughest bracket last year. And it's going to be interesting because I'm going to be looking at Illinois a little bit. And I know they won the conference tournament, and I usually try to stay away from that, but Terrence Shannon is just such a beast. And he can, he, if you saw that, Wisconsin hits the three, he ties it up, boom, just comes back, hits the three. He's unstoppable, really. And it's a guard type of tournament. I think that they're going to be the better team than Auburn in this situation. So I'm going to be looking at that, but I still have UConn as the best overall team. The team that I want to stay away from a little bit is Houston because I am just not sold on their field goal percentage. They're going to win a few games. They're going to be in just like last year, but man, ranking 229th and in effect, the field goal is not the kind of team that I want to back. And once they, you know, play a tough team, they can be in a little bit of trouble and going to be a little tricky against teams like Marquette and Kentucky. And obviously with Marquette, they got to get Kolek back.
I just made a bet here. I'm just scrolling through these lines again. We're doing this in real time, and I don't know how you felt, but trying to prepare for this, my open, my interview, like getting all my notes, my thoughts, the lines. It's just like everything happening at once. But I like Morehead State plus 13.5. I agree Illinois is obviously a really good team, but sometimes you fade this team off a conference tournament win. I don't know. I just like this Morehead team a lot. 13.5, I wouldn't be shocked if this gets down to 11, 11.5. Would you have a lean in this game?
I certainly would not bet Illinois coming off the win here. I think they could be a little bit weak just based on that. Now, if they can get to the Sweet 16, that's when I think they're going to be a little bit dangerous. But Morehead State, I'm going to look at the over in this, and it's dropped a little bit because Illinois is just such an over team. They play fast. They rebound very well on the offensive side. They don't play a lot of defense when they're winning. That's the truth. When they're winning, they will let you score. I don't care what team it is. They're very Kentucky-ish in that, you know? So I would look more towards the over. It looks like it just dropped to 13. Are you moving this line, Will? Jeez.
Possible. I might have texted a couple other people too that might plays that I'm in text groups with that maybe they did, but I don't think so. I just think, I don't know. That is interesting. Just
well, it's a good play.
I wonder what it takes to move a number. That's an interesting question. What would it take to move a number on an NCAA tournament opener?
A lot of respect for one. And if you're listed as a winner to one of these larger FanDuels, DraftKings, it might move, but they also might not because they just have so high a volume. They might wait it out anyway. I noticed these books wait a little bit longer than the Vegas books. It would be, you know, a good... If somebody sends out a play and they're a very popular player, and I'm guessing their clients use that same book, that could move a number. You know, I don't see DraftKings moving unless they get a high amount of volume or FanDuel, but I do see smaller books move out of respect for who's betting it. So that's what it takes. And it's not always even just the size of the bet. It's just the precision of the person. You know, I'm sure they take a lot of bad money for five-figure bets from people that just have all kinds of have more money in the world that they can even spend themselves.
Sure. Anything futures wise jump out to you, or it's too early for that?
Well, you know, I have some futures. I obviously those numbers are gone. I had UConn at 10-1. I'm curious how they reload them because
reread some of them.
Yeah, please do.
For some reason they open. I don't get these in Connecticut, but for some reason in Connecticut they're up right now. I don't know if it's a mistake, but UConn's plus 450. This is DraftKings. Houston's 5-1. Purdue 7-1. North Carolina 12-1. Houston was the team I meant to mention too in those awful performances. They had one of them. But Arizona 12-1. Auburn 14-1. Iowa State 16-1. Tennessee 18-1. Kentucky 22. Marquette 25. Duke 25. Creighton also 25. Illinois 30. Baylor 35. Bama 40. Kansas 40. Your Wisconsin Badgers 60, Florida 60, which is the first one I find interesting of these longer shots. Gonzaga and BYU 60, St. Mary's 70, not terrible. I know the money line rollover works better. And then you got 100-1, Texas Tech, Clemson, New Mexico, Mississippi State, Texas. You go down the list here. Anything jump out to you at all? Just first instinct.
You know, they're pretty solid. I have UConn as my number one team. I don't like Houston so much. Auburn won their championship. Tennessee at 18-1 is a little interesting. Creighton at 25-1 is interesting because I'm kind of thinking about maybe using Creighton in my Final Four on that side. Wisconsin at 60-1 is a little bit interesting because they're hot right now. Florida at 60-1, I thought is pretty hot as well. So those are the ones that I'm looking at. Kentucky's probably properly priced because of how inconsistent they are. 22-1. Duke at 25-1 is interesting because, you know, Duke actually gets a lot of respect on the efficiency sites. I think they're top 8 on KenPom. So it's interesting that they're kind of getting like the number 11th or number 12th best odds, yet, you know, some of the efficiency sites like them. So you have to believe in Filipowski. I think he's kind of soft when he gets beat by some of those bigger centers, but you know, Duke could be live too. So very interesting. I didn't get the chance to relook at that. I'm probably going to be studying that more tonight, Will.
All right. I think we covered it. Do we miss anything? Is there going to be a monster upset? We usually get one, whether it's a 2 going down, a 3. Last year, we got a 1 and a 2 going down. Do we get a stunner here Thursday or Friday?
Thursday or Friday, man. Oh God, I hope so. I mean, that's what's so fun about this. Imagine Purdue going down again. That would be, that would be something else. I'm not going to say that though. I think a team like Arizona could be in a little trouble because they're very inconsistent, even though they're in the West. I mean, I could see a possible upset happening there. I could see South Dakota State just being one of those teams against Iowa State, you know, that just can't miss. They're coming off high ball screens and just keep hitting. Remember when Baltimore Retrievers beat Virginia? Virginia couldn't do nothing about it. They just, everything they threw up went in the hoop, you know, and they were just playing their pack line defense. So that could possibly happen because Iowa State could be fat and happy living off that big win. In Western Kentucky, it just depends if Mark Heck has their guy back. Is Kolick going to be back? If Kolick's not back, this team could be a little bit dangerous or a little bit susceptible as well. So I don't see Stetson beating UConn. I don't see Longwood beating Houston. I don't see St. Peter's beating Tennessee. But I could see the others possibly being a pretty big upset. Oh, maybe Samford against Kansas because Kansas is just so weird right now. I don't even know if they're all in or not.
It's a good point about Marquette. Kolick, is he back? Is he 100%? And boy, the committee has taken injuries into account in the past. If he's not back, if he's not 100%, even if he is, how is Marquette a two seed? I thought that was a strange one too.
Yeah, why are they a two seed with this? It's weird.
I don't know. How are Auburn and Kansas both four seeds? Like, those are not equal teams. I just don't get some of the seeds. Again, it's hard to do this perfectly, but I don't know, some strange things I thought.
You would assume if Marquette was going to be a two, that Seton Hall or St. John's would be in, or one of them, you know?
Yes.
It's like, why is UConn one, Marquette two, and Seton Hall's wins against them count for anything? What? That makes a little no sense. I think they're just trying to put a little love towards the Big East and try to even it out a little bit because they were shorthanded. So yeah, the committee make a few mistakes. You know, maybe I just give them a B or B minus instead of that B plus. But you know what? When it's all said and done, you got to get to the Final Four and you got to play the best teams at some time. And I'm hoping for a fun tournament and a lot of upsets. But one thing to keep in mind, Will, those first half unders, they're going to get hit.
Yep.
But I'll tell you right now, you're going to look at them and they're going to be lower than you think they should be.
Yes.
I think they're still going to go lower. I think that it's going to get hit either way. And then you can probably make a play on them and then make a decision a little bit later in that day if you want to buy back. Because as low as that these books are going to put them out because the cat's out of the bag, they still might go even lower than the initial line.
Or if, and I noticed this with Duquesne today in the A-10 final, like 60.5 for the first half total. You get that first four or five minutes where it's like 5-2, 6-2. Then they adjust it where it's like the live total is 50.5. You open yourself a nice middle because sometimes those first few minutes, there's jitters, getting used to the rhythm, the backdrop of the court, all those things. And you get a slow 3 or 4 minutes, then you got a really nice middle if you want to get cute with it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think going for middles is fun. And, you know, it also lessens your exposure a little bit. You don't have to bet all these games, guys. Just bet a few. Live bet some of these. You're going to find some value on some of the teams that are losing, in my opinion. You might find some value on some teams that are winning. Obviously, there's a point where this team's going to lose and they're the favorite. That happens all the time. You saw it with North Carolina. You know, you saw it on some of these big upsets that just happened during out the tournament. But I think live betting is a great solution as well. And if you're not giving out picks to people or selling them, I think it's a great way to approach it.
Kev, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on. Are you going into the lab to get started on these games, or are you going to take it easy and just kind of get ready for the tournament at a leisurely pace here?
Oh, I got a lot going on. I have a show tonight to talk about the brackets. Okay. We're going to talk about all different kinds of bracket challenges. At the Odds Breakers, we do a free one where we're giving away $500. So if you're listening to this show, real quick to sign up and just to autofill your bracket and move the stuff around, you can get that done in 2 minutes. And we're going to give away money from first to fourth place. And we also have a deal with the SZN, the season.com, where we're going to have an upset bracket. An upset bracket is where you minus the seed. So if a 12 seed beats a 5 seed and you pick that, you also add the score of 12 minus 5. And I think that's a little bit more challenging and fun, as well as a survivor bracket. So we're sponsoring one of those at the season. And we're really excited about that, offering a discount to any new signups over there.
Oh, I like that. It tempts you into playing some of the bigger upsets and say, hey, maybe I'll go for a 14 or 15 to win. I like that. And yeah, anyone that hasn't played Survivor, if you can get in a Survivor pool, do it, because that one's a lot of fun too. It's just, there's so many moving parts of the survivors. There's some big pots. So survivors are a lot of fun as well.
And Will, you would have crushed it last year with FAU and San Diego State, man. You would have crushed it last year in that situation, because those seeds would have all you at the Final Four, you probably wouldn't have won it.
Yep, it's the best time of the year, Kev. Enjoy it. We will be looking for all your stuff. I'll probably be listening to your podcast later, trying to copy off your paper as I usually do. But appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up here down the road.
All right. Best of luck, everyone.
All right, that will do it. Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. I'm sure we'll be back and do another one before the tournament starts, just because it does start on a Thursday. To release on Friday doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of like, hey, I want to give out my picks, my Final Four picks against the spread. So I do want to come back before the tournament starts on Thursday to give some picks. So I will see you at some point, probably Wednesday, whether it's a solo pod or with a guest. I'll talk to you before the tournament starts. See you then.